Introducing the Faith Series, a transformative audio sermon experience crafted by the visionary minds at spiritnerds.org. Each week, we bring you a curated collection of powerful sermons from theologically sound preachers around the globe, delving into diverse topics that address the depths of our spiritual journey. This remarkable series has become a beacon of inspiration, touching the lives of millions of Christians worldwide, from faith-building messages to practical guidance and navigating spiritual matters. The Faith Series is a wellspring of blessing designed to ignite your faith and deepen your relationship with God.
My guests have witnessed over 1 million miracles, including a dead baby coming back to life, next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. My guests, Charles and Frances Hunter, just before we started the television show, told me that they've got so many new body parts, and they're not talking about transplants. They're talking about supernatural body parts. Tell me about that, Frances.
Well, I believe with my heart and soul that God has a warehouse of spare parts. God is smarter than General Motors, who make new parts for their cars when they wear out. And so God does exactly the same thing with human beings. As a matter of fact, Charles often says, I have more new parts than I have original parts. And when I celebrated my 80th birthday down in Acapulco, Mexico, a few years ago, I received a telegram from the owner of a television station, and he said, since your heart is 26 years old, and he said,
Your heart is 26 years old?
I got a new heart 26 years ago. I had an enlarged heart with a hole in it. My blood pressure was 225 over 140.
Sounds like you were ready to pop.
Yes, you're right. And Charles jumped up on the bed. Oh, I was in bed. I had such a violent headache with that blood pressure. He jumped up on the bed. He spoke a new heart into me. And in 12 minutes, my blood pressure went down to 140 over 80. And if you want to take it right now, that's exactly what it would be. Isn't that incredible? I went back to the doctor. I had the same doctor, the same hospital, the same x-ray technician. And they said, you've got a new heart. Your heart doesn't have, they said, you've got the heart of a 16-year-old.
Charles, I'm always curious on this sort of thing. Obviously, it's an emergency. It's a life or death type of issue. What did you do? You put your hands on your wife, and what did you say?
I just said, in Jesus' name, I command a new heart, and that's all.
Did you have doubt? Did you think you were losing your wife?
No. For some reason, no. And I guess that's the supernatural of it. But this is a lifestyle for us. When a situation comes up, we command it to be healed in Jesus' name or other things God has taught us. And so in that case, I had prayed probably 24 hours, all kinds of things, binding the devil, praying to God, almost begging God. And finally, a technician had come to our home to visit, and she took her blood pressure, and that's where it was 225 over 140. After 3 hours of blood pressure medication. When she did that, I talked to the heart the same thing over and over again.
You talked to the body part itself.
Absolutely. I said, heart, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be created new. I command the blood pressure to go down to normal and stay there in Jesus' name. Now, I looked out of the corner of my eye, this technician, I thought her wig was going to come off. She was getting very excited. She was writing it down about every 3 minutes. And for some reason, I kept talking for 12 minutes on the clock. And when I finished that 12 minutes, she said the blood pressure's
140 over 80.
Perfect. And everything else cleared. She went back to the doctor, checked it out. All the technicians checked her. said, perfect, you got a new heart. And our doctor said, you got the heart of a 16-year-old girl.
Now, Francis, why is it there are people viewing us right now, they believe God heals, they pray, and they don't see results. You've prayed for hundreds of thousands, millions of people all over the world over all these years and seen so many healings. Why do you see it and they don't?
You'll have to ask God the answer to that one, because I have to be real honest, I do not know. To this day, every time I see a miracle, which of course is often, it amazes me, it astounds me, and it excites me, just like the first one did.
Sid, I think one of the major causes, people don't know how to heal the sick. Most Christians, spirit-filled Christians, pray for the healing. Jesus never prayed for one to be healed. He prayed a lot, but never for anybody to get healed. He healed them, and paraphrasing the Bible, he said, it's not by my power, Jesus said, that I do these works and miracles, but it's by the power of my Father. And you, Sid, and you believers are going to receive this power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and with this power and my authority, Jesus said, you go do the same things I've done and greater. And that's where we saw that baby raised from the dead.
Tell me about that baby.
Francis needs to tell that story.
Oh, listen, that was one of the most blood-curdling moments that I have ever experienced in my whole life.
The baby, I understand, was on a monitor, on a heart monitor.
Yes.
And I saw the footage, we'll see it in a second, of that, as you put it, that blood-curdling scream when the mother realized, I mean, everyone was happy and dancing and everything, and all of a sudden you can hear the scream, then I guess the mother must have realized the baby was dead.
She saw the monitor.
Well, you see, I had noticed the baby when I went in, because the baby was a tremendously small baby. Mm-hmm. So I talked to the mother, and she said the baby had been born with a defective heart. And so I said, be sure and let me pray for the baby, because I want to pray for a new heart. And she said the baby has to have the monitor all the time, because they never know when the baby's heart is going to stop. And so they were sitting at the very back of the theater, back of the church, and it was at the end of the service. And a lot of people had come forward. They were just rejoicing in the Lord because of what had happened to them. Many of them had gotten healed. A lot of them had gotten the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And it was just a real joyous night when suddenly the whole atmosphere changed because a blood-curdling scream.
Let's take a look at that blood-curdling scream right now.
In the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. I command that little heart to start operating in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Now, Francis, I have to ask you, what happened to that baby?
It was the most incredible thing that I have ever seen, I think, in all my life, because the grandmother picked up the baby and ran down the aisle as fast as she could run, screaming at the top of her lungs, as you heard, and screaming, the baby is dead, the baby is dead. And so when she ran up on the stage, the television equipment had been taken down, and I did a most unusual thing. And this had to be directed by God himself, because normally I would have grabbed the baby. But if you noticed in that, I didn't grab the baby, I grabbed a microphone. Now there was a very good reason for that. All of the television equipment had been taken down except one individual who had their little camcorder. And had I not picked up the microphone, you would never have heard what happened on there. Now, isn't that unusual? Because I have never failed.
What happened to the baby?
The baby was just limp and turning blue. And when I commanded that spirit of death to come out in the name of Jesus, because that's where all miracles occurred, suddenly there was a little movement in that little right arm. If you notice the little arm that was hanging down, there was just a little movement, just enough to let me know that the baby was alive. And soon the baby breathed normally and was perfectly healthy, and to this day is perfectly healthy.
How do you know that?
because I keep in touch with him. And as a result of this, the father was not a Christian, but he accepted Jesus when he saw the supernatural power of God. And I believe with my heart and soul, when people who are unbelievers...
I'm going to tell you something. You are going to see the supernatural power of God. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this. Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with what are known as affectionately the happy hunters. And you'd be happy too if you prayed for dead people, something like five dead people they've prayed for that have come back to life. You think that's something. I understand that in Bogota, Colombia, I find this hard to believe, but I know I should not, and they don't know what we're talking about, but I want to hear you explain what happened in Bogota.
All right, and then I will also tell you that all of these miracles that we tell, or 99% of them, we have on video stored in the archives in our office. So if somebody really gets on and says, prove it, we can go through all these miles and miles of television and tell it. Well, this was an incredible story because we had gone down to Colombia. It was our first time down there. And we were having a healing explosion, which is where we train the ordinary believer that you can lay hands on the sick.
Can ordinary people pray for the sick and have the same type of results as you?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the Ukraine and the United States and Brazil?
Doesn't matter what country.
No.
Doesn't matter.
We see Jesus said in the last chapter of Mark, those who believe and came right down to the end after he said, we'll preach the gospel to every creature. He came down and he said, every believer will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now there's a difference between the gift of healing, which is where when people get supernaturally healed in your services just by sitting in the power of God. But the other is for the ordinary individual. And Jesus said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will you do also, and even greater works because I go to be with my Father. And so the ordinary believer can learn to do exactly the same things that we do.
I found out something very, very interesting about the hunters, and that is, after they became believers, they were very much opposed to many of the supernatural manifestations like speaking in tongues and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And a woman by the name of Catherine Kuhlman laid hands on them. And I believe they not only had a powerful encounter with the Spirit of the living God, I believe that's when the miracle ministry was released. I really do. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back to Bogota.
Okay. So we're in Bogota. We had trained these people. We had trained about, we had trained 6,000, but we didn't have enough room to use them all. Mm-hmm. So each pastor selected a certain number from his church. So we had 1,500 on the healing teams. So we had to have two piggyback services. So in the first one, Charles and I demonstrated, and we always demonstrate healings in our ministry.
How do you demonstrate?
Well, we call people up. We say, if there's somebody here who has a lower back problem and you're in pain with an exploded vertebrae, would you come forward? And that's how we demonstrate. And when they get healed, you know, it's hard when people see a miracle right in front of their own eyes. It's hard not to believe it, isn't it?
What I'm curious about is those people in wheelchairs. Tell me about that.
Well, in Bogota, this was really something. The first service, we conducted a few miracles in the beginning. Then we turned the healing teams loose, and the miracles that they did were incredible. Then came the second service, which was about 2 hours after the first one was over, and I never saw so many wheelchairs in my life. And you have to remember, in South America, where they don't have hospitals and where they don't have Medicare and Medicaid and ARP and all those kind of things like we do, their people are crippled and their only hope is God. In other words, they can't get medical care for it. So if they can't get that, the only thing they can rely on is God, which is why it's so easy overseas to see people healed. So we went in the service, and just before we were to release the teams, the pastor said to us, "I believe that God would have you personally lay hands on the wheelchairs in this service." And I started to say, but we came down to show the people that they can do it if we can do it. But God just said, go ahead. And we looked up and we said, God, if you're not in this, we are sunk. And you are. I mean, if God's not in your miracle service, you are sunk. So we walked out, and the first man was horribly crippled. I mean, there were just parts of his body that were, and his legs and everything were terrible. And so I know a little bit of Spanish, and so I said in Spanish, "Receive your healing in the name of Jesus." And then with people in wheelchairs, we always say to them, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And I didn't want to say that much, because when you're having to translate into another language, it takes a little more time. But I couldn't, and I just wanted to say, "Get up and walk." And I couldn't think of the word to walk.
In Spanish.
In Spanish. So this is what I'm saying, God, I don't know the word to walk. And he reminded me in the most peculiar way. You probably, as a little child, sang a song that we did called La Cucaracha.
I remember
La
that.
La Cucaracha, ya no puede caminar. You know what that means?
No.
The cockroach, the cockroach, now he is unable to walk.
I used to sing that song, and I was singing about a cockroach.
Yes. Now he is unable. What was the word I needed? Walk. Now he is unable to walk. And then it says, because he doesn't have, because he lacks marijuana to fumar. That means to smoke.
So, think what
now,
you did.
Would you believe that that was the way God reminded me of the word to walk, which is caminar. So I said, levántese, which means get up, y camina. And the man got up, just like that. And I, you know, sometimes people think, oh, those kind of people have great faith. No, we're just like everybody else. I leaned over to Charles and I said, he must not have been as crippled as I thought he was.
Really? Did she really say that?
She really said that.
Yes, I really did.
But there were a lot of people in wheelchairs. How about the others?
So then we went to the second one, and if it works, do it the second time. So we did. We said the same thing to the second person, who was also all crippled up, and they got up and walked. So I said, let's try it again. And so we went to the third one. We went down the line. 16 people got out of wheelchairs. The minute we laid hands on them, the 17th one sat there like a bump on a log. That shocked me no end. I thought, what's the matter with you? 16 got up. What's the matter with you? You know, but when he did, they either get up or they don't get up. And so we went all the way around. And before we finished up, over 100 people had gotten up out of their wheelchairs or had gotten up out of stretchers. Or one man was blind and he was totally healed, and a camera was on him the second that he opened his eyes for the first time in his life. It was absolutely wild. Now, the interesting thing is, the last 20, see, we went around the circle like this, and before we ever got to the last 20, they got up out of their wheelchairs and they ran over to us asking us to heal them.
So about 100 got healed?
Yes.
Did you hear that? About 100 people in wheelchairs stood up, walked, were healed, blind eyes were open. God is the same.
Yes.
He's the same, and if you only believe, all things are possible. We'll be right back after this word. Hello. Let's find out who our guest is next week. Go to Janie in the control room. Janie?
Sid, have you ever heard of the healing rooms in the early 1900s in Spokane, Washington?
Sure, John G. Lake.
Well, so many people were healed. People used to go to Spokane, Washington, all over the world, and they were healed. Well, a man that you're going to be interviewing by the name of Cal Pierce has opened up those healing rooms in Spokane, and people are coming from all over the world, and they are getting healed.
Well, I'll tell you something. I believe that when you see this telecast, that healing room is going to come right into your living room, right into your bedroom. But you don't even have to wait for that, because I've got the Happy Hunters here right now. And I want you, I have to ask you this question. Is there any reason why people that are watching us right now cannot be healed?
No reason at all.
Is there anyone in a wheelchair that cannot get up and start walking?
Nope.
Anyone blind that cannot see?
Nope.
Anyone with cancer that cannot be healed?
Nope.
Anybody but Jesus?
Yes. You really have faith for this, don't you?
Absolutely.
I do, because it's happened so much. You know, you don't have to struggle to have faith to drive your car, do you?
No, it's automatic.
Automatic. Well, so is healing if you do it often.
See, it's with us, it's just an automatic thing. I mean, we lay hands on people on airplanes and wherever we go. In restaurants, we lay hands on the sick and see them recover. But I think it's because we have done it so much that we believe, we just expect it to happen.
Well, what advice, why don't you just look into the camera right now and give advice to those that are ready to receive and then pray for them.
All right. Charles, you want to give me a little teaching on healing first of all?
Okay. First of all, healing is all done by God's Holy Spirit, by the power of God. Jesus himself said, these miracles or works that I do are not done by my power, but by my Father's power. And you believers are going to receive this power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And with this power of the Holy Spirit and using my authority, Jesus said, then you go do the same things I've done and even greater. But one of the other principles are that people often pray for the sick. Well, you ought to pray, but not for the sick to be healed. You heal them by the power of God. If a nurse started to give you an injection, she wouldn't do it by prayer. She'd do it by an injection. And that same thing, we inject the power of God, release it into people's bodies, and that's what heals. And God gets all the glory through Jesus. So that's basically the principle. And so, yes, over the television, we've seen multitudes get healed. There's no reason that anybody can't get healed right now. All you need to do is just suddenly believe. Well, you know, I believe that's true. And so just accept it. You
get Francis, I am ready for that miracle.
Hallelujah, okay. Hallelujah. All right, let me just tell you this. The reason that we believe so strongly, first of all, the Word says it. It only takes two things for a healing, the name of Jesus and the power of God's Holy Spirit. And the power of God's Holy Spirit can come right through this television camera. It can touch you wherever you are. It can touch whatever disease you have. And for some reason or another, in my spirit, I feel there's somebody out there who has cancer. The prognosis is bad, bad, bad. But I have good news for you. I have good news for you. God is healing cancer today like never before.
Francis, this is what I want to say. Just before she said God has given it a revelation that someone with cancer, not someone, anyone with cancer is going to be healed, I heard the same thing.
Hallelujah.
God is really after cancer right now. Go ahead.
Amen, amen, amen. All right. Cancer is strictly from the devil. Sickness does not come from God. It comes from the devil. Put your hand on that part of the body where you have cancer and believe as I say this for you. Devil, I bind you right now by the Spirit of the living God in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit of cancer, I command you to come out right now in the name of Jesus. I curse the seed and I curse the root of every cancer cell in those bodies and I command them to die in the name of Jesus. I speak a new immune system into you. I speak a new blood system into you, a blood system that will not accept cancer cells. And I command all of the electrical and chemical frequencies in every cell in your body to be in harmony and in balance and to digest every cancer cell in your body. Be healed right now from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. If you couldn't get up and walk right now in the name of Jesus because it's done.
And if you had pain, check for that pain. It should be diminishing or gone by now.
And pray very quickly for any condition. Very quickly now.
Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and with you, nothing is impossible. So, Father, we pray right now. We just ask you to extend your hand. We command every sickness to go. I command that diabetes to go in the name of Jesus. I command the spine to be straightened out of those people who have back problems and who have a scoliosis of the spine. And there's somebody out there with bursitis in your left shoulder. You have not been able to raise your arm up, but raise it right now in the name of Jesus, and that bursitis bursitis is healed in Jesus' name. There's somebody that has an ear infection as well, and your ear has been draining. That drainage just stopped right now because you have believed as you have watched this television program. Then there's somebody who has a stomach. Well, I mean, I got two words of knowledge real fast.
Quickly.
Somebody has a stomach problem right now. You've really been having stomach problems. I speak healing in the name of Jesus. And there's somebody who has a left knee where your cartilage has disappeared. I speak new cartilage in that. I command that knee to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Get up and stand on that foot, and you'll be amazed what happened to it because you just got new cartilage in your
knee.
And
I was hearing some of the same words that she was speaking right now. God really wants you healed, but I heard something I've never heard before in a word of knowledge. I heard someone with AIDS is being healed right now in Jesus' name, and someone's back and neck and hip. And I'm going to tell you something. All things are yours right now.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, all things are yours. Do something you could not do before. Do something. Get up and do something. Just get up and dance if that's all you can do. Start dancing for joy.
Yes.
This is your moment. I'm so excited about what God is doing.
Thank you for joining us on this incredible spiritual journey through the faith series brought to you by SpiritNerds.org. We hope these powerful sermons have touched your heart, expanded your understanding, and ignited a flame of faith within you. Remember, the journey doesn't end here. Continue to explore the depths of faith, seek wisdom, and embrace the transformative power of the gospel in your daily life. Stay connected with SpiritNerds.org for more uplifting content as we strive to be the source of inspiration for millions of Christians worldwide.